Mr. President, I rise today to talk about the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act, which is a bill I first introduced in 2012 with Senator Shaheen of New Hampshire. Senator Cassidy from Louisiana has worked hard for years with me and with others to get this bill passed. I want to thank Senator Cassidy, as well as Chair of the Health, Education, Labor, Pensions Committee, Senator Murray, Ranking Member Burr of that same committee, and Majority Leader Schumer and others for all the work they've done to help us pass this bill. This is a common-sense bill that has broad, bipartisan, bicameral support. Everyone from the ACLU to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce supports this legislation. These organizations didn't merely endorse the bill after reviewing it. They are actively involved in shaping the legislative text and finding agreement on the text that we are attempting to vote on, and they remain supportive today. The Pregnant Workers Fairness Act simply closes a loophole in the 1978 Pregnancy Discrimination Act to allow pregnant workers to request reasonable accommodations, you're going to hear that phrase a lot today, so that that worker can continue working safely during their pregnancy and upon returning to work after childbirth. I'm going to be coming back to that phrase in a moment of reasonable accommodations. But I wanted to cite just two examples among many. Just one from Pennsylvania, Janesha, a teaching assistant working at a child care facility. She's from Bucks County, Pennsylvania, in suburban Philadelphia. She suffered a miscarriage due to an infection during a previous pregnancy. When she got pregnant again, she asked for extra bathroom breaks, which were necessary to prevent contracting another infection. She was made to wait over an hour just to use the bathroom. Later that day, Janesha was fired. This is just one example of a pregnant worker asking for a simple, common sense accommodation and being denied that accommodation. What other types of reasonable accommodations that pregnant workers might request? Light duty is a common example. Pregnant people are routinely advised by their doctors to limit how much they lift, whether it's 20 pounds or 25 pounds or 30 pounds. Peggy Young was a UPS driver who requested light duty when she was pregnant. Other workers had received light duty, but she was denied because there was no requirement under the 1978 Pregnancy Discrimination Act to provide reasonable accommodations. That's the loophole we're trying to fix. Peggy Young was forced onto unpaid leave and eventually took her case all the way to the United States Supreme Court. Other common accommodations a pregnant worker might request are stools or water bottles. Cashiers and other retail workers are often denied these reasonable accommodations that can help them maintain a healthy pregnancy. There have also been multiple cases where pregnant workers have been demoted or forced into lower-paying jobs because their employer refused to provide uniforms that can accommodate the worker's pregnancy, even though the pregnancy did not affect the worker's ability to perform essential job functions. These are all examples of simple changes employers can provide to a pregnant worker's job duties or requirements that would not substantially inconvenience the employer while allowing pregnant workers to continue working through their pregnancies. Yet all too often, pregnant workers are being denied these reasonable accommodations, leading to impossible choices for these workers. Keep working in an unsafe environment? Is that a good choice? Taking leave early and running out before the baby is born? Or number three, or be let go or forced to quit and face the stress and financial strain that comes with losing their job? There's no need for this to happen. The Pregnant Workers Fairness Act sets up a simple framework that is easily understood and utilized by both employers and employees. Under the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act, a pregnant employee may request reasonable accommodations from their employer. The worker and the employer will then engage in an interactive process to determine how the employer can provide these reasonable accommodations to the worker. This protects both parties. The worker may not be forced to accept accommodations that are not needed and that do not address the original concern. The employer cannot be asked to provide an accommodation that would pose an undue burden on that employer. If this process sounds familiar, that's because we have carefully crafted it to closely resemble the process under the Americans with Disabilities Act. The ADA is 30 years old. Lots of case law in those years, testing and probing and examining this reasonable accommodations standard. So we have 30 years of evidence that reasonable accommodations is a way to protect workers who have a disability in the workplace, and it's also a great way to protect a pregnant worker. Reasonable accommodations.